Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's RBC Heritage. We roll on. Joining me to break it down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hi, Greg.
Rick, I see you haven't traveled yet, so you're still in Augusta. How is Monday at the Masters?
It is zombie land here. I think I'm the only person here. Seriously, I mean, I am at a fairly sizable hotel. There's like a convention center attached to it, and I think I'm the only person here. The parking garage is completely empty. It's very bizarre.
That is strange to say the least. Well, I wish you safe travels.
Thank you.
Tomorrow or whenever you're traveling.
Tomorrow. Yep.
And onward we go to the RBC Heritage. I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, it's a calm week. It's it more usually has more of an easygoing feel, but this is a signature event. And I know that regardless of whatever vibes you may be feeling now, come Sunday, we'll be saying, what a week.
We will be. So no rest for the weary here. Troy, if you want to throw my screen up, let's talk about it. It'll show my website, rickrungood.com. And Greg, this is interesting because we've got a golf course that we're very familiar with, Harbortown. It's a Pete Dye golf course. It's a very unique golf course, especially compared to the other courses that we get on the PGA Tour schedule. But we don't always get a field this strong. We had one in 2020. I think this was the second or third event back from the COVID shutdown. And now this gets signature status. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys try to tackle it.
I think it's a very interesting course. It's one of those where you look at these yardages and it's short. Yet at the same time, you're not able to hit driver everywhere. So there are some spots you got to hit your ball to. It's a little more target golf than, say, Augusta National or Houston, even TPC San Antonio, where you can hit a lot of drivers. This is not one of those venues. So I still think club head speed is an advantage, but you have to get the ball in play, whatever club you use. So I'm really, a lot of my attention and focus goes to, you guessed it, approach play. But this time, different than the last couple weeks we've had, this is a little, you're looking at a shorter range. So I think iron play with these small greens is extremely important, but I'm looking at yardages under 175 yards rather than over 200 yards.
You get a lot of, yes, those like mid irons and shorter. And what the rare thing statistically about this golf course, Greg, is that it is often rewarding driving accuracy as opposed to driving distance. You know, basically every single week on the PGA Tour, you know, distance is king. And this is not. We've seen a lot of guys who are, you know, point A to point B, that type of golf. We've seen that be very successful here.
You look at the past winners, you have Matt Fitzpatrick. He added some speed, but certainly not a long hitter. Jordan Spieth, Stuart Sink, Webb Simpson, CT Pan, Satoshi Kodaira. These are not bombers. And they tend to be, at least during the time of their win, they were very good iron players, especially with very good recent form when it comes to irons. So that's definitely something that I'm looking for. But I do love this golf course because there's a lot of trees. Yeah. If you miss, you can often hit recovery shots, but you got to put a lot of curve on it. You got to be very creative should you miss. So I enjoy watching this test.
The other thing to note, again, this is kind of the nerdy stat stuff here, is this is a pretty rare profile of how much rewards you get from a long drive versus how much penalty you get for missing the fairway. You, every single hole on the PGA Tour, except maybe one, you get a reward for hitting the ball farther than average. Not as much here, but massive missed fairways penalties, Greg, on some of these holes where you're talking about, in some cases, half a shot, because if you get in the trees, it's like, well, now what? You're in jail. So they're averages, right? Somebody might make a double or a triple because they're in the trees and they're banging it around in there. But there's a huge benefit to keeping this ball in play.
Yes. And I don't think there's necessarily a huge penalty for hitting it in the rough. But you got to put it on the wide side of dog legs. Right? Correct. You have to be, you can actually hit the fairway and have tree trouble, which is very rare on the PGA Tour, and I think very cool. So looking forward to this test. It's a different one. It doesn't rule out, in my opinion, high clubhead speed players. You look at these average drives, and they're all below 300.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I mean, every single one of them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're, for whatever reason, just hitting it shorter means you're hitting less than driver off a lot of these tees. So I think high club head speed players are still in play, assuming they can be accurate with three wood, long irons, whatever they choose to hit.
Okay, well, naming some names here, and it is a smaller field, which I mentioned because of the signature event. It means they'll get four guaranteed rounds. There is no cut. We'll start talking about those golfers. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to BOLL&Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
And we're back. Greg, 69 golfers in the field. I believe the two who are eligible, Victor Hovland and Hideki Matsuyama, I think are the two that are not here. Does that sound right?
That sounds right. I believe that's right. Yeah, Victor Hovland withdrew.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure Hideki was ever in.
He wasn't. He just never committed
planned
to
planned a week off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're here. I mean, a lot of very similar names to what we saw last week at the Masters.
Speaking of last week at the Masters, there is a comment, Troy, from 534 that I want you to put up that says, props to the real GFD for his Fire Masters live radio commentary. Greg, the people are loving what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. It was fun. There was a lot of content going out, not just from the first cut, but all platforms in the game of golf. And I'm just happy to be, it's so lucky to be a part of it.
Yes, it was awesome. And I'm stoked that people are enjoying it. And you deserve all the props, Greg.
Oh, well, as do you, Rick.
Well, thank you. Now that we're done patting each other on the back, let's find some golfers in this field. And we've got a big 10K range, Greg. That is six golfers at the top. Scottie Scheffler is $13,300. Rory is $11,200. Xander is $10,800. Ludwig amongst the big boys at $10,400. Patrick Cantlay at $10,200. And Colin Morikawa at $10,000. Let's start with this, Greg. We are not in the baby prognosticating business. I had just assumed after a long week and telling us how much you wanted to get home, and apparently Meredith being on the verge of having Scheffler baby number one at any time, I assume Scotty would be out of this field by now.
Yeah, so did I. I mean, if he went home, let's say last night, I don't know what I've seen pictures of him being in Dallas at local dive bars. Yeah. So let's say he got home last night. He's got today, and then what, he's getting on a plane again tomorrow? I guess that's the plan.
Or maybe when it's time to get on the plane, he says, I don't think so. I'm not going on that.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the kinesiology tape on his shoulder. Maybe there's a little neck issue that flares up. But so there's two ways to look at this. One is Scottie Scheffler plays.
Well, I think for our purposes, let's assume he's going to play.
Okay. So I'm going to assume he's going to play. There is no way I can fade this guy. I mean, you start to look at some of the statistics that he carries, and those numbers, like his specialty with irons really is inside of 175. I think he's top two in all of them except 125 to 150, where he sits like 25th.
Yeah.
No, he just can't hit his pitching wedge, I guess.
Well, he can.
I know.
He's better than 80% of the tour. but the other clubs, he's better than all the tour.
Right. So he has one start here. It's a T11. It's like a rock solid start for him again. You think about a tactician like Scottie Scheffler, he comes in here with a really solid plan. I would not be surprised to see him win again. I mean, I'd be surprised that he plays, but I would not be surprised to see him win if he does. So it's hard for me to go away from him. He's just so much better than everybody else.
Well, considering the status feels questionable, I don't think we should spend more oxygen on him, but the stat profile, which I love, looks like a video game. I mean, it's like create a player, you're in, you know, season six, you're all maxed out, and now like you're just winning every single event.
Pad in the stats, right? Yeah. Let's just rack them up.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going first and foremost. But if we want to take a look at some of these other guys, maybe there's a little Scottie Scheffler fatigue and you just don't want to play someone different.
Yeah, I know. I hate winning. I hate winning money. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that, by the way. It's a terrible strategy. So in the event that Scottie Scheffler withdraws, I think the next best play is at 10,800.
Yes.
Xander Schauffele.
I'm with you here.
I think he played a really, really nice Masters. I think his stat profile is the closest to Scottie Scheffler's that we have on the PGA Tour. And I think this golf course could be pretty good for him.
There's a couple of really kind of sneaky things going on right now. They don't mean a whole lot individually, but I'm trying to read the tea leaves a little bit here. First off, he might be the, I think he is the second best player in the world in 2024. You know, Rory has struggled a little bit. It comes with zero trophies, but he's been very good and very well-rounded, which is helpful around this place.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the one where, okay, there's a win at, there's a one on the resume after this and, oh, well, duh.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. He's been building up to it for 3 months. The other thing is, yeah. I think this just happened like an hour ago. Xander Schauffele is now shorter than Rory McIlroy to win this golf tournament, which it's very tight. I think Xander's 10 to 1, Rory's 11 to 1. I do not believe that is where they have opened. And that to me is that's newsworthy because we've gone a year basically where it's been Scotty Rory, just in perpetuity, no longer. So just a couple of little nuggets to throw out there where they're, yep. the tides are shifting a bit.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think it's valid. He came in fourth here last year. Rory doesn't have a great record here. Although I think if you look at Rory McIlroy long-term, this past week at the Masters means so much to him. It's like a restart again. You like eliminate the stats from pre-Masters. I think there's a big exhale. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a slow week, but you know, looking forward for the rest of the year, if Rory McIlroy won 2, 3, even 4 times, I don't think I'd be surprised. The Masters just weighs so much on him in the early part of the year.
This is the first time. Hold on a second, Greg. I'm still scrolling here. I'm down to 2018. Okay, so this is a little bit different now because of the schedule. 2017. And that wasn't even, hold on a second. He's like never played the week after the Masters. Like ever. He almost always plays Quail Hollow next, which is like a month later. Now there was a scheduling thing where he played the Players after he played the Masters, but it's never, I mean, I'm in 2012. He's never even played. And these are usually a month after the Masters.
So he's played the RBC Heritage. Well, once in 2009 when it was the Verizon Heritage. So you're not there yet.
I'm almost there. There it is.
Yeah. And he came in tied 58th and he played here in 2020, which was the COVID year.
And it was in June, right?
I could tell you. Yeah, no. June 21st, end of June, right? Yeah. That's when everybody played. It was the second event back.
Yeah. And he finished 41st.
So it's not a great spot for Rory. But he said he's loving golf at the moment, and he's going to play a lot. He's going to play in New Orleans.
Who's his partner?
I feel like I know this from a long time ago. But I just saw the quote. I didn't see who he mentioned. He said, I'm going to play in New Orleans.
I think I could play with him in New Orleans and we'd do okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll play with Ludwig.
Oh, God. What an absolute stripe that would be. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's wild. Anyway, I'm with you here on Xander. I'm actually kind of in on Cantlay as well.
I am too.
His record around this place is probably some of the best. I mean, he doesn't have the win, but he's done everything else. I think he's got zero wins, but that's still pretty good otherwise.
Yeah. So he had a nice Masters as well. Some solid play, approach play improved. So, yeah, you can absolutely play Cantlay as well if Scotty withdraws.
I don't know why is he still in this field? The nice thing is it doesn't really matter. He's not taking a spot from an alternate. There are no alternates. So,
right.
So it's not like he's holding somebody hostage, right?
Yeah. It's not like he's doing the wrong thing by waiting.
Yeah. he could just not show up Thursday morning and it wouldn't impact anything at all.
It's not a bad guy move.
Right. Not a bad guy move. Anything or anybody else in the 10K range that we need to discuss?
I don't think so. I think we've talked about all these guys. All these guys are realistically playable.
Yeah.
But those are my three favorite. Scotty, Xander, Cantlay.
Yeah. They're all very good and they've all been playing a lot and we talk about them every single week. 9K range. Fleetwood, Homa, Fitzpatrick, Spieth, Wyndham Clark, Will Zalatoris. Now here there's a lot more question marks.
Yeah.
And this is a mixed bag. So what do we want to do here?
Top or bottom? That's really where I think Tommy Fleetwood has really turned a corner with his form. Mm-hmm. I think he can handle a positional type golf course like this. And I love what I saw out of him last week, specifically Sunday. But also his record here is pretty good. His last two starts in the last 2 years, T10, T15, also has a top 25 here additionally. So I think that's really solid. He's been good across the board with his game, although it's been not for a very long time. But I think Tommy Fleetwood's clicked something.
I think we're going to get Tommy and Xander. And it's going to be a battle of like guys who should win at all and or more. And unfortunately, Tommy's going to come up on the right. It's going to be, remember in Canada where the playoff was Nick Taylor and Tommy Fleetwood? Yeah. And it was the only time in the world people were rooting against Tommy Fleetwood to actually win a golf tournament because Nick Taylor winning the Canadian Open was going to be sick.
Right.
It's going to be like that again.
And Xander's going to like hole out a bunker shot or something.
Yeah.
Clip him.
Exactly. But he's been playing great. What do you do? Okay, let's just, this is the problem area. 96, 94, 92. Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Wyndham Clark. Matt Fitzpatrick, defending champion, who hasn't played well in 2024 until recently. He's played a lot better. Jordan Spieth has a win and a runner-up finish in his last 2 years, has been miserable, including at Augusta National. And then Wyndham Clark coming off the miscut at the Masters. And we have seen him obviously play great this year, but kind of a different golf course for him. So this is the range. Those three guys, I think, like one will miss the cut. One will finish. I guess there is no cut. One will finish 60th. One will finish 21st and the other will win.
Yeah, it's not a... You know, that's pretty accurate, I think. Matt Fitzpatrick has been playing a lot better of late. He worries me because his iron play isn't great, but his record here is pretty good. So he clearly knows how to play here. He's got a win and a T4 in his last three starts here. Also a couple of T14s. It seems like a really good spot for him. So he's playable. For some reason, I don't love it. And that might be, I may be wrong on that. Wyndham Clark, I do not like the golf course for him at all.
I tend to agree with that. But what's the but?
He's too cheap.
Yeah. He's a legitimate winner, like multiple times and big events.
Like think about, this is what's in my mind. When I first say no to Wyndham Clark, like, well, all right, let's take Will Zalatoris, who's right below him, who I like. But think of the events that Will Zalatoris plays well in. This really isn't the type. I think he can handle it. So I think Will's playable. But is it worth $200, saving $200 to not play Wyndham Clark, who could just fire that driving iron around the whole golf course? His iron play is so much improved this year. I know it wasn't great in Houston when he hurt his back. And I know he missed the cut at the Masters. I know he's been saying some things that have annoyed some people, but he's a flat out gamer and he could win here.
It's obviously very different because of the Harbor Town has, you know, the tree lines, and you did a great job earlier referencing kind of the angles and stuff. Pebble Beach is another positional golf course.
Yeah.
and he shot a 60 there and won.
Yeah. So
in a signature event.
Right. Right. So, I mean, and Houston, you can totally write off. And the Masters, you know, as I was, before I even looked at the field for this, before I put any thought into the RBC Heritage, I said, when I look on rickrungood.com at the results, the Masters is irrelevant to me. Mm. Nearly irrelevant. Except for the guys up near the top where I think they had high emotions and are exhausted. Guys who shot 47, like Brian Harman, I don't think the 47 is something to be concerned about, right? It like you could shoot some big numbers and not be playing poorly. So I don't worry about the miscut at the Masters at all with him. And I think he's the play in this range just because of his general talent, even though he's not a good course fit.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of not the course fit stuff, but like Colin Morikawa being too cheap last week kind of reminds me of.
Right.
Kind of reminds me of. Okay, we're going to continue down to the 8K range, the 7s, and the 6s. There is no 5K range this week, so you're going to have to get a little bit creative if Scotty plays and you want to play him. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
And we're back. Greg, the chat seems to believe that Shane Lowry is Rory McIlroy's partner.
Ah, that would make sense.
It would make sense. I don't know if that's official or real, but that would be logical.
Yeah, very logical. That'll be a good team. Speaking of Shane Lowry.
Speaking of Shane Lowry, he is in the middle of this $8,000 range. He's 8,500. He is surrounded by names such as Sahith, Cameron Young, Tony Finau, Justin Thomas, Corey Connors, Sam Burns, Russell Henley, and we round it out with Siwoo, shaking that ass, shaking that ass, shaking that. That was pretty good, right?
Not bad. It sounded like Troy played the drop.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to do the drop. That's the range, Greg.
Okay, let's just go right to him. Shane Lowry.
Okay.
He's in my top two in this range. Either one or two. I haven't quite committed to that. But, I mean, look what Shane Lowry's done with his approach play. In his last four measured events, he's gained over four shots approaching the green in all of them. Mm-hmm. This guy is hitting the ball well. I told you the Masters, I was kind of writing off. Well, I see a guy losing seven strokes putting at the Masters. It doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies, but this is a totally different experience on the greens.
Yeah.
Completely different experience. So those greens fooled great putters last week. Shane Lowry's not a great putter. It's not a surprise that he got fooled. But with that ball striking acumen, and he has a good record here too. He's got a couple of top tens, three top tens and six starts.
Yeah.
And two of them are tied thirds. So Shane Lowry is absolutely a play for me.
Yep. I think that's the reasonable one. I also think, Greg, that, you know, there are some guys who on paper, you're like, I'm a little bit worried about that. But their results are better than you'd expect. Like Cam Young, when he first played this event in 2022, he finished third. Sahith last year finished fifth. There's a little bit of that. So there, I think it goes back to what we kind of talked about before, where there's kind of a couple of different ways you can go about this.
Put Cam Young up in that 9K range with those guys that could win or finish T60 or T20. He feels like he belongs in there. And the only reason I say that is, well, there's really nothing to doubt. He's been playing awesome golf. He's hitting the ball so well. He does have a T3 here, which is surprising. That was during his rookie year. I think he's hitting the ball well enough to win. The one concern was the Masters last week, just absolutely exhausting. But I think he's going to recover. He's a young player, extremely talented. And I think he really likes this golf course.
This stat blueprint is exactly what he did when he broke out of the slump earlier this year, where he just starts slowly turning more red boxes green. And he just slowly starts rounding all facets together. He has done this before. He's actually, his stat profile is very predictable for somebody who's only had a couple years on tour. And also, he hasn't won, but it's like, it's very, you know, when he starts slumping, it's going to be a while until he turns it around. But this is how he plays out of it. And it's like, we're back to this again.
Yeah. And the price is right as well. I mean, if you go Scotty and go down to Cam Young for your second play, you got to skip that whole 9K range, but you still got a couple of, you know, big time competitors in your lineup. So, Cam Young was the other one. He and Shane Lowry are 1-2. I think that's interchangeable at this point. But as you just mentioned, maybe Cam Young should be number one.
Could you trust Justin Thomas?
No. He could win, but no, I can't trust. What I saw last week out of Justin Thomas, what I saw at the Valspar, is a guy that doesn't know where to turn. So he's going to turn to himself, and I don't trust him to get this thing solved. I don't trust him off the tee anyway at a golf course like this. I don't think his iron play has been terrible. It's actually been quite good, but his putting is completely unreliable.
Also, I think his brain might be a little unreliable too, which is
completely
worrisome. I just want to pull up Siwoo's profile here. Siwoo is he's a Pete Dye specialist, believe it or not, and he is putting together a pretty darn good ball striking year. We talked about it, like, you know, you got to take Augusta National with a grain of salt. He gained 4 strokes off the tee. He lost nearly 3 on approach. That's fine. He finished T30. Siwoo Kim used to be one of the most volatile golfers on planet Earth. Hasn't missed a cut since Vegas.
Yeah. He's playing some golf. He's playing some real good golf. I love Siwoo. I wrote down 4 names in this range. We've hit on 3 of them.
Oh, well, who's the 4th?
Corey Connors.
I stared at his name for a long time.
Yeah, you don't like it because you don't like what you see in the short game. And that's understandable. But here's the thing about Corey Connors on this golf course. Short game is significantly easier here than a lot of the venues we've played recently. And I think that bodes really well for him. He's also at this golf course in his last 3 starts. He's actually gained strokes putting, which I think could be pretty cool. And he's a very reliable, very accurate hitter of the golf ball. So he's absolutely worth taking a look.
Gained strokes and putting in his last 3, and his 4th start ago was a small loss. That's basically a win for Corey Connors.
And yeah.
Those are his best. Obviously, those are his best finishes there. All of them inside the top 31. 12th and a 4th are the highlights.
Yeah. So I think Corey Connors is very live this week. Not for an outright, but definitely in DFS.
Benjamin On, Jason Day, and Brian Harman lead the top of the 7K range. A couple of recent poppers. Danny McCarthy, Akshay Bhatia, are towards the upper portion there. Middle gets you Harris English, JT Poston, Cam Davis, who played well last week. Bottom gets you Hoagie and Matthew Pavone. There's some appeal here. I've got two guys I love and maybe a couple more I like.
All right, I'm going to take a guess in the love category for you.
Okay.
Christian Poseidon out.
100% correct.
Yep. He's tops on my list. And I'm going to guess your second love is an Australian. Ooh. Cameron Davis.
I filed him under like.
Okay. Yeah. So love must be.
I think this is a tough one. If you get it, I'll be really impressed.
I got a lot of names written down here.
Take one more.
Were you, Taylor Moore?
No, I do like him, but that's not who I was thinking of. The final love was Matthew Pavone.
Okay, I wrote him down too. Way too cheap.
He is like the 15th best player on the PGA Tour this year. Something like that.
And he's $7,000 flat.
And he's $7,000 flat. He finished 12th at the Masters. He won the Farmers. He finished third at Pebble Beach, positional golf course. Could have won that. Sony, another course we were just hitting a bunch of shorter irons into it. He played in Singapore 2 weeks, two starts ago. Finished fifth there. I mean, he's a great player, and he has $7,000.
He had a tough stretch in Florida with the API and the Players. Not the only one. And we just wrote him off. Yeah. Like he's just done. And that's unfair. So those 2 weeks, you take those out and this guy is an absolute rock star. I know that, Mike, I don't think any rock stars are coming out to tell me.
You don't think so?
That he's not a rock star.
I always wonder, I can't believe we're talking about this. Do you think that's all like green screen, or do you think they were able to get, who is it, Billy Idol, Rory McIlroy, like in the same spot at the same time? Or do you think they're just talking in like that's computer generated?
I think they got him in the same spot.
Wow. Yeah. Billy Idol probably doesn't have much to do anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's the whole time. I haven't studied the commercial that closely, but I think on the golf course, when Billy Idol stole your golf cart, I think that was real.
Stole your golf cart.
But yeah, Matthew Pavone's a rock star. Way underpriced.
Okay, so Poseidon, who we've talked about all the time. He's been playing great. He's made great strides. No problem there. You mentioned Cam Davis. This is kind of interesting, right? You know, he was in the mix, Greg, very late last week, and he's got a great record here, which on paper you wonder about, but he very much shows the ability to be a precision golfer.
Yes, I think he actually excels on these kind of golf courses more so than you'd think. I mean, his last two starts here are T7, T3, and before that at T25. He's played well at what are some of the other golf courses he's played well at? The Sony Open before, maybe not this year. The Wyndham Championship he's played well at. He's played well in Memphis, which maybe a little longer version of a positional golf course. So I think you think of him as like the Rocket Mortgage is the perfect course for him.
Yes.
But some of these shorter, tighter venues, he performs really well. And I think he's playing really nice golf right now.
What other names did you have circled here?
I think Brendan Todd is interesting. Again, very accurate, but hitting the ball better the last two starts and didn't play the Masters, which could be an advantage. So he's gained strokes in both of his last two starts, played well at the Valero Texas Open. He's a great putter. His record here is not what you might think. This would be one you would think Brendan Todd would circle. He does have a fourth place finish here nearly 10 years ago. And the last three starts here have been not great. T26 is best in the last three. But I think he's playing really well right now. So I think he could be worth a click. Although I'd probably rather save the $100 and go with Pavone. Or, I mean, what do you make of Tom Hoagie?
I think I'm generally positive for on a golf course like this.
Last 36 rounds, he is the only player better than Scottie Scheffler strokes gained approach the green.
That's disgusting.
Weighted too.
That's disgusting. What? Why? Oh my God.
Right.
Look at this stat profile.
Yeah.
Why has he not been better here?
It's got to be the driver.
He's missed four of his last five cuts. His best finish is a T25. This is the opposite, where it's like he should be good here and he's not.
He's just not. He doesn't putt well here. A short game on an easy short game golf course. Short game is not very good. It must just not suit his eye. But you would think he's just going to fill it up with, you know, 150-yard shots that he just throws at the flag. So it's surprising. Sometimes it could be a little turnaround. I think he's played well enough to, you're taking a little chance. I don't like it because of the course history, but, you know, I've been hurt before.
I'm ready to get hurt again.
Yeah.
The $6,000 range. Grillo, Kitayama, Glover, Fowler at the top. The middle is Jake Knapp, Grayson Murray, Nick Dunlap. The bottom, Chandler Phillips, Eric Barnes, Bryce Garnett.
There's good news here. There's some very playable options.
Yeah, there is.
Can I give you a sneaky one?
I prefer it.
This is, I think, massive potential upside. Nick Dunlap.
That is sneaky.
I have not liked him at all this year, not once, because he played as an amateur and won and hasn't really done much since. But his last 2 weeks, I mean, he played a lot better in Houston, and his iron play was awesome at the Masters as well. Mm-hmm. Even though he missed the cut in two rounds, he gains, you know, over 3.5 shots. And this could be something sneaky, a little more, you know, I'm wondering if Nick Dunlap's starting to get comfortable out on the PGA Tour.
It is an incredibly small sample size, but that is the best two events he's played in a row.
Yeah.
Like by
one of them's a missed cut.
Yeah, but exactly. But that's okay. I liked what he did in Houston for sure.
Yeah. So I think this guy is too talented to be a bottom dweller on tour. And one day he's going to get comfortable.
Dude, maybe flushed it.
So yeah.
3.1 on approach. That was the windy day. That was Friday. That's flushing, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think he's got some game. Now, we're trying to jump in a little early on him,
yeah,
right? But he's at 6,500. I think he's a really good value. Could unlock Scotty Scheffler for you. And then there's one other.
Okay.
Austin Eckroat.
Oh, interesting.
6,400. You know, that might be a duo that could really help you out. Up on the north side of your lineup.
The two that I'll nominate, Lucas Glover.
He's on my list.
Three straight top 25s, and he gives us the accuracy side of things. And why is Thomas Dietrich 6,300? 17th at the Valspar, runner-up in Houston were his last two.
It's a fair question.
I mean, I've played Gary Woodland basically every week since he's returned, and I've gotten nothing for it, and he's 6,200.
You'd be very happy if you've played Thomas Dietrich every week.
Yeah. If every time I played Dietrich, if every time I wanted to play Woodland, I played Dietrich, I'd probably be a lot happier.
Yeah. A lot richer, too. It's an interesting play. I mean, I thought
for sure you were going to mention Mackenzie Hughes.
He's on my list too, with a question mark. So I wrote down four names in the 6K: Glover, Hughes, Dunlap, Ekrot. The thing about Hughes is, surprisingly, similar to Tom Hoagie, he has a terrible record here.
Yeah, how is that possible?
It doesn't make much sense to me. He's struggled off the tee here. He's struggled on approach here. Is he a better ball striker today than he was all those attempts?
That doesn't make any sense.
It's just, it worries me. That's why he's 6,600, because it's an awful record here. So I don't know. You got to look at your lineup. If you're going to take a chance on Tom Hoagie, I wouldn't be taking a chance on Mackenzie Hughes as well. If you're going to go a little safer up top, then you could mix in a Mackenzie Hughes.
You know what the good news is, Craig?
What's that?
He's not going to miss the cut.
No, that's very good news. Very good news. It's one of the reasons I like Tom Hoagie as well, because he could shoot 75, 78, 62, 64.
Yeah, we have seen him go low at times.
Yeah.
This way the sun is coming into my hotel room right now, I look like an angel, just like glowing.
It's very nice. Thank you. I bet you're excited to get out of there at this point.
I'm very excited to go home. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you sound like Scotty.
Yeah. Me and Scotty Scheffler, we have a lot in common. We both want to go home. Anything else, Craig? So, again, it is a no-cut event. It's a signature. 69 golfers. We'll be on Scotty Scheffler WD Watch for the next day or so. But anything else, my friend?
No, just a reminder, play him. And watch for WD, but you play him.
Watch for WD and play him. We will be back Tuesday. I believe it is going to be Patrick. Are you on tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Patrick and I. You'll be traveling.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out the schedule in the group text. So I'll be in the air. So you guys are graciously taking care of the Tuesday show for us. So Tuesday for RBC Heritage, and then round by round recaps Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
This train keeps on rolling.
That's right.
Can't wait.
We don't stop for nobody. We will be there. Big thanks to producer Troy. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme is available on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.